This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As usual, another beautiful day here in Hawaii, and can't ask for anything more. Anyway, today I have joining me here on my right is Mr. Steve Gutman, and Mr. Gutman is an attorney, a partner with the law firm Kesner, Umbayashi, Bain, and Matsunaga. And he is currently the president of the collection law section of the Hawaii State Bar Association and past president of the bankruptcy law school, law section, correction. Good morning, Steve, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. I took an interest in doing this because I've found that just recently the FBI released a news release, press release, talking about the flim-flam, the going on in the foreclosure and the mortgage issues. And so I thought, prior to this, doing something, because I've learned that in some of the communities here, they're really being impacted by fraud and not knowing, and people approaching them, offering legal advice when they're not lawyers, and just on and on and on, and getting a big mess. So thank you for joining me, and I hope that you can give some good advice and, you know, get some people out of a stew or keep them from getting in a stew.
Well, we'll try.
Yeah.
I'll try. And it has been going on for quite some time. It's just it just got worse. But the problem has actually been out there now for a fair amount of time.
Mm-hmm. I have Freddie Mac, Mr. Brad German is going to call in. He's from the public relations office at Freddie Mac. And he has a little bit of to offer and different points, what people should watch out for, some of the red flags and all. But with you, I was hoping that basically the best way I'll describe it is to give the listeners out there a little free advice, some good advice, but some free advice. And what causes foreclosure? I'd like to know, in a simple way, what causes it, and how bad is foreclosure?
Well, when it's your own home that's being foreclosed, it obviously, for that particular individual, is quite bad. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the process, I mean, they're no longer going to be a homeowner, and all the consequences of not just having to move. Moving is never fun to begin with, but when you're being kicked out of your own home, in some cases, it's a situation where people have lived in the same home for quite a long time. It is a definitely a depressing process. The reason they're being foreclosed is the inability to make the particular payment that is due under the mortgage. A lot of times, what happened, especially with people who have lived in their place for a long time, who are now being foreclosed, is that when the property values were increasing significantly, they took out additional loans on their property, or they refinanced their existing mortgage, and they ended up having a lot more debt than they can handle. And across the country, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the amount that's owed on the real property is more than what the property is worth. But the practical reason is simply an inability to pay, and why there's an inability to pay can be everything from unemployment to health issues to simply overextending yourself.
So is it something that people can survive? Is this the death of you if you end up with a foreclosure? And how does one fend it or come out ahead if they have a face with foreclosure?
Well, in terms of the last question, how do they, or one of the questions in terms of how to address it if they're trying to keep the home, a lot depends on whether it is a permanent problem. I mean, that they simply got so totally overextended that they're not able to meet the mortgage payment, that they actually may have signed up for a mortgage that was interest only and ignored the fact that at some point they're going to have to start paying principal, and then the principal part of the monthly payment kicked in, and there's just no way they can meet it, and with today's market they can't sell the property for what it's worth. That is one scenario. Another scenario, though, is somebody has enough when they're working and enough income to pay for the mortgage, and the person gets injured, and suddenly for a period of time they're collecting workers' compensation that's enough to them to pay for food, etc., but they can't make the mortgage payment. But that's a temporary situation, mm-hmm. and they know once they get healthy again they'll be going back into their former job. And in that scenario, there is something called a Chapter 13 in bankruptcy that will frequently allow for help. There's also simply issues in terms of the mortgage companies themselves and what they're doing, maybe in terms of increasing rates, late charges, and so forth. And you mentioned you have somebody from Freddie Mac that's going to be calling in, and there is on residential property. I mean, there is some new things that have been adopted by the government that is trying to assist people in that situation, too.
Well, I think it might be appropriate. Now, I have Brad German on the line, and if you join in with me, Steve, and he's going to share some of the red flags and things of that nature. And any other questions or you think that would the public would benefit here? Brad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you doing today? I'm fine. I appreciate you calling in, and I have Mr. Steve Gutman, who's an attorney here in the area here in Honolulu, and specializing in bankruptcy and all the other things regarding foreclosure and what have you. So,
good morning.
Well, first of all, you know, because foreclosure and the downturn of the economy, and a lot of people are susceptible or exposed to fraud, as we had spoken. Could you share with the public what are some of the red flags they should look for when they find themselves in this situation to avoid being harmed financially?
Well, that's a great question, Carol, and I'm glad you brought it up because, as you were saying, a lot of people are in some financial difficulty, and it is very seductive when somebody comes up and offers a plan to keep them in their home at what seems like the best, just incredibly great terms, because those incredibly great terms are being offered because they're not real. It's all part of a scam.
Mm-hmm.
What people should be first and foremost aware of is when they receive an unsolicited call from a stranger with an opportunity for some kind of a rescue, something out of the blue, a mail, a flyer, it just sort of seems to hit at the right time. They know it's the right time because they've probably found the foreclosure notice at the local courthouse or city hall or wherever these public documents are stored. So they get an opportunity from some total stranger who offers to to pay off the mortgage, rent the house back, or they know an investor who is looking for this opportunity, and they'll pay off the mortgage, and then the borrower will rent the house from this investor or from the person who approached them for a period of time so they can get their feedback on the ground, and then when their feedback are on the ground, then the house will be sold back to them. They'll get a mortgage when they can to get the house back. That's the basic structure of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really happening here are one of a couple things. Is one, they're going to collect the fee up front. And that's just pure profit for the scam artist. They may not even go any further than that. They might just take the fee and walk away, and you'll never hear from them again. They may also simply go on to the next step and then arrange what looks like a closing where they sign, where the borrower in trouble signs a lot of documents. And one of the documents they're going to be asked to sign, they may not fully understand the document they're signing, is going to be a quitclaim deed or a transfer of warranty. But whatever it is, whatever it's called specifically, once they sign it, what they have done is they have transferred the title to their home to the scam artist. And at that point, the scam artist can do anything they want. They can go out and, if they can get the money, borrow against it, or they can simply own the house to just find it. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So that's the basic red flag. The red flag is you're in trouble. Somebody seems to know about it automatically, magically, and they solicit a rescue offer that involves your sitting down and somehow becoming the renter to your own house because somebody off stage, an investor off stage, is going to take care of the mortgage.
Wow.
And whether they get the mortgage or not, you're at the end of the day, you're probably going to lose your house.
And sometimes you'll see a situation where if they're actually, the borrower may have their independent financial problems separate from the mortgage payment, so they can't get a new loan, but there actually is equity in the home. And you'll have the scam artist then take the title, then mortgage the property to the maximum amount, take the cash out, and at the end of the day, the former homeowner is just that, a former homeowner.
Right. And, you know, and these guys don't just do solicitation. Sometimes they wait for people to get in that panic because they feel like there's no other place to go, and they'll be responsive to a sign that might be posted on a telephone pole or in the median strip of a highway saying, "We buy homes," or "Mortgage problems, call this number," etc. If credit's no option, that should be a red flag, because credit in a reliable underwriting process is always going to be a factor. So if somebody says your bad credit is no factor, then you have to be very suspicious that something is going on. And you need to take a very close look at the situation. And if you don't understand the deal that's being offered to you, seek out some expert advice. Seek out an expert who can sit down with you and the person who's offering the rescue and go through the documents one at a time so that you're independent expert, the person who is advocating for you, can take a look at this and decide whether or not this is really in your best interest or not.
The other thing is to make sure that you are the one that's actually hiring that expert, because sometimes you'll have these scam artists saying, "No problem, I know a lawyer that I can deal with, or I know a mortgage broker that you can talk to," and they send you to somebody that is already in their pocket, so to speak.
Talking to your attorney, your family attorney. If you don't have an attorney, you might want to call the Hawaii Legal Aid Society and ask. They are a HUD-approved counselor, counseling agency for borrowers, and they would be there to take a look and to talk to you about your situation. I can give you their number.
Okay.
It's 800-499-4302, the Hawaii Legal Aid Society, and they would be. If you're approached with one of these too-good-to-be-true offers to rescue you from your foreclosure, you should definitely be in touch with an attorney, an independent attorney, or the Hawaii Legal Aid Society to take a look at this deal and see whether or not it really is in your best interest or if you're just being set up for a fraud.
Also, you can call the Hawaii State Bar Association has something called Lawyer Referral Service. And it's listed in the white pages under Lawyer Referral Service. And they will, if you call that number, they will give you the names of three attorneys who specialize in this area. and it's definitely worth your while. Because sometimes people are, you know, penny wise and dollar foolish. You really do need to have somebody look over documents before you start signing them.
That's right. And another point, of course, is that it, in sitting down with the foreclosure rescue hero, they offer you papers to sign that have blanks. And say, don't worry about that. We'll fill in the blanks later on. Well, you know, that's you should just get up and walk away, because that is a clear sign that something is not quite right. Everything should be filled out in any kind of a legal closing involving real estate. There should be no questions about the documents. There should be no blank statements. You should have a full understanding of everything you're signing. And in the case of a foreclosure fraud especially, you should be very, very leery of believing any of these rescue offers that are coming from these strangers, these unsolicited phone calls. That said, on the other hand, as I think I heard you all talking just before I got on, there are different programs that are being put in place right now through Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and FHA and other reliable investment companies, mortgage investment companies, that people should be paying attention to. We're going to be rolling out on December 15th a streamlined loan mod program that will be targeting borrowers who are in some distress, who have our whose mortgages we own at Freddie Mac, and we will be looking at various steps that can be taken to reduce the monthly payment to 38% of the borrower's income, so that their debt-to-income ratio is no higher than 38%. That's important because in a number of cases, especially during the boom years, people took out financing that was well in excess of 38%, sometimes 50% or higher. And while a lot of those mortgages aren't on our books, there are mortgages on our books that where the borrowers are in trouble. And this is a streamlined program that should enable them to get a workout that will make their mortgage payment affordable to them much more quickly than usual.
Is there a web page where they can look this up come December 15th?
They can go to our website at freddiemac.com. They can go to our conservators website at fhfa.gov. There will probably be a lot of news about it. This was announced back in November. And once it is up and rolling, then I'm sure there will be quite a few announcements, and it won't be hard to find it.
So it's, again, freddiemac.com. And what was the other, FSHA?
Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHFA.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I assume that none of these programs, if people have a second mortgage, these programs will not assist them. Is that correct?
I'm sure there will have to be some way to work out second and third mortgages on these properties. Usually what has happened in the past is that an offer is made to the lien holder, the lender of the second loan, and then try to work it out. But you're right, something has to happen to free up the lien.
Mm-hmm. The reason I bring that up is that lately a lot of the phone calls I'm getting is our situation where people are current or almost current on the first, but they've got a second mortgage on their property, and that is really creating a problem both from for them and in terms of the legal processes that may be available to resolve those issues.
Mm-hmm. There is definitely the second and multiple lien holders have to be. Their interests have to be taken care of or addressed in some way in order to free up the lien for the first mortgage holder to proceed with the workout. And, excuse me, I understand that is an issue in some cases, but in the past these things haven't worked out. And hopefully going forward there will be ways of negotiating with the, you know, other lien holders so that the workout can be expeditiously.
I see. Well, Brad, I appreciate you calling in. And is there any other pointers? And by the way, what do we have here for fraud that's showing up on the radar? Do we have a real big problem here in Honolulu or in Hawaii compared to other states? I know there are Florida, Michigan, Colorado, Georgia, and those other states, 10 of them are top 10.
They follow you up to get them in states where there are lots of investment properties, where there's been the housing boom, and where there's been a mismatch of income to home prices where people feel like they have to have money.
Yeah, you're, for some reason you're fading in and out there. I think it's just probably the connection or something. But go ahead if you would try again.
No, that's all.
Okay. Well,
if you check out our site at freddiemac.com/mortgage fraud for a number of tips on mortgage fraud and the steps getting involved. And could you talk about the video?
We're going to be playing that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And right, and I'll on our we'll do a link on the website carolcox.com and show it there as well, talking about fraud, because it's important. We appreciate you folks producing that and sharing and allowing us to use it. And thank you for calling in. Aloha. Well, Steve, unfortunately, he has great information and we bad connection there, but that's okay. We'll make do. But we'll take a break in a bit. But what I have a question. There's, when we talk about foreclosure, there's a judicial and non-judicial foreclosure. Just if you could explain that to the people and which one is beneficial, or how would you end up choosing?
Well, the borrower does not get to choose.
Okay.
The person who owes the money is at the mercy of the lender in terms of which process you use. Historically, most foreclosures in Hawaii were through the court system, but a few years ago, that changed, and the great majority of the foreclosures now are outside of the court system, the non-judicial. The advantage for the borrower is that when it is a non-judicial foreclosure, they are not at the end of the process going to owe any money to the party who foreclosed on the mortgage. So if you only have one mortgage on your property, and even though the property may be worth only maybe worth $200,000, but you owe $300,000. Property sells for the $200,000. If it was through the court system, you'd end up with a monetary judgment for that $100,000. If it's a non-court, non-judicial, then the lender cannot pursue you for that $100,000. So it's definitely in the borrower's interest on that scale to use for the non-judicial process to be used. The lenders use it because it goes a lot quicker, which is the downside. You will be out of your home a lot sooner in a non-judicial process than you will be if the court system. The last time I saw any statistics on the court system, it would typically was a 9-month process. You're going to be out in 120 days in a non-judicial, so it goes a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's why the lender will use the non-judicial.
Now, I've had it described to me that one of the ways to delay foreclosure was to file bankruptcy. How do the two marry up, and is it beneficial, or is it just who benefit? Does the borrower benefit, or does it buy time for them?
Well, there's a few factors. One of which is the matter that I alluded to a little bit earlier, as to why you're in this financial problem. Mm-hmm. If the the goal is to ultimately to save the home, and there really is a reason to think that you can, then certainly the Chapter 13 process would be advantageous to go into the bankruptcy, because basically what a Chapter 13 does is, if you're in a situation that you can make the current monthly payment, but the lender is not willing to let you make that payment because you're already 4 months behind, and they're saying, we're only going to start talking with you if you pay all the arrearage, and you have no ability to make up those four payments, six payments, or even a year's worth of payments that may have accumulated. Well, in the Chapter 13, you would take that arrearage, those past due payments, and you can spread those out over 3 to 5 years as long as you're making the current payment. So the 13 gives you a way, if you've solved the problem or are about to be solving the problem that created the situation in which you're in the foreclosure. The traditional bankruptcy of a Chapter 7 will buy you a little bit of time, but won't buy you, but will not solve the problem. So if the goal is simply that you want to live in the place another 90 days, another 120 days, you may, with the volume that's going on right now, you know, you may very well get an extra 3, 4 months by using a liquidation Chapter 7, the traditional bankruptcy. But as to whether you should use that Chapter 7, a lot depends, goes back to whether it's a non-judicial or a judicial. And do you have other debts other than the mortgage that you need to get rid of? Because a bankruptcy will stay on your record, for your credit record, for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The negative information about the foreclosure disappears after 7 years. So, I mean, you've got 3 more years of negativity on your credit report if you use the bankruptcy process.
So it's wise to consult an attorney and basically obtain an attorney in this matter. It seems so complex, and you could end up harming yourself.
Yes,
along the way.
Yes, I mean, people do have the right to file their own petition. Pro se is would be the legal phrase there, but there's a lot of factors involved, and overall the bankruptcy process is not an expensive process, and those attorneys doing the bankruptcy are able to work with people to make it doable.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and Steve Gutman, thank you for joining in with me. This is the Carol Cox Show. If you have any questions or for Steve or concerns, give us a call, 524-1080.
Now you can get great bargains and help save our landfill at the same time, only at the Green Bed Factory. The Green Bed Factory is Hawaii's only recycled bed company. Quality mattresses and box springs are stripped, cleaned, sanitized, and completely rebuilt using all new fabric and padding. Local labor and local materials means a local product. Save shipping costs and, of course, save money. Visit our website at thegreenbedfactory.com or stop by our showroom at Ross's Appliances and Furniture. Ross's and the Green Bed Factory will save you hundreds of dollars, and we guarantee it.
Are you the potential victim of a foreclosure scam? Whatever the reason, you're behind on your mortgage when a foreclosure notice shows up. The notice is a public document on file at City Hall. Con artists seek out these notices, copy them, and then call potential victims with the promise to make everything better.
Well, we're professionals with privileged legal expertise and 20 years of experience helping people just like you. I can get that bad credit off your name, refinance your loan, make sure you stay in your house until you get back on your feet.
The person you think is trying to help you save your home shows up with a lot of documents to sign. You sign, thinking you're saving your home, but you're really giving the con artist the deed to your house. Once he has the deed, he knows how to use it to get a new mortgage for more than your current home loan. He pays your old loan and pockets the difference. He may even demand rent from you while the new loan secured by your house goes unpaid and into foreclosure. The con man pockets the loan. You lose your house, your equity, and the fees you paid the con man. If you're having mortgage trouble, talk to your lender. Avoid foreclosure heroes who want the deed to your house. They may be trying to steal your home, even if they promise to rent it back to you. Report mortgage fraud to 1-800-4-FRAUD-8. Let's shut the door on fraud.
Get out!
In the naked city, yeah. When you're all alone and all your hard-earned money's gone, walking down Broadway, watching people catch the subway. Take it from me, don't ask for a helping hand, 'cause no one will understand.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I have Steve Gutman here, attorney specializing in foreclosure, bankruptcy, and all the good things that will protect us. Bob, you're there. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Spare a minute. Spare me a dime. I like the music.
Okay. Well, anytime.
the attorney?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes.
You know, it's been a little longer than a month that Guy Paulson, is that his name, the Secretary of Treasury?
Yes.
He came in front of the American public with a three-page article. Well, I don't know. It was like a decree by the presidency, really, because the president tells him what to do, telling us that our country was going to collapse because of home owners not paying up on their debts. Fannie Mae and the other Mannie Mac or whatever. Now, they're trying to tell me that that is the beginning of the collapse of our financial system. Is that believable?
Well, it's a major factor. Obviously, the problem in the...
You mean it actually is a major factor?
Yes.
But then, excuse me, I interrupted. I want to follow my train of thought. Because then I heard right after that, somebody came out and said, the financial liability of all the homes, of all them loans in the United States of America was only like $70 billion. So why did they need $700 billion to fix the problem? If that fact is right, somebody came out about 2 or 3 days later after they analyzed it, and they said, no, all the homes in America that this problem is, the foreclosure, is only $70 billion. So where is the discrepancy is $640 billion? So is it believable what they're telling me?
Well, I have not, I've never heard the $70 billion figure, and quite frankly, I do not know what is the total amount that is owed in the for all mortgages, but the problem is the effect on individuals, because most individuals, their quote wealth is in their home, and if that money is no longer available to them, then their financial picture is radically different. And then when you end up with foreclosure rates like you have in some states like in Florida, which leads the country, or in Las Vegas, or a number of places.
In Nevada, yeah.
In Nevada, which is way up there. When you end up with close to 10% of the homes being in foreclosure, that just has a devastating effect on those communities. So, I mean, there's numbers and there's numbers, and what you really have to do is look at what is the actual effect on the particular individual. And when you multiply that by the numbers that you're presently dealing with, it truly is a potential collapse, the depression that could come in. Though hopefully with these programs that are being put in place, you will have the problem at least partly addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Though one of the problems with the whole Freddie Mac programs, I'll be curious to see what the final version of this. But the programs that are now in place, you have to first be delinquent. So if you actually are somehow struggling, but you're managing to make the payments, but you're keeping the home, but meanwhile your credit card debt, for example, the only reason you're making the payment,
something else is being affected.
Yeah, other things are being affected, and you really have to go delinquent first on the mortgage, which is not a good thing. But that's the way the existing programs are. So, again, I am curious as to what's going to happen with the Freddie Mac program.
Okay.
With the revised program.
Okay.
So this stuff will come out in the wash. Because I'm still confused of why this financial collapse, then it spread around the world. Now, how does that affect these homes starting this thing off, and then all of a sudden all these other dominoes were starting to fall? Does that make any sense to you as a financial kind of a guy?
Well, it does, Bob, but I think what we're trying to do is focus on individual problems, not on the worldwide problems. So I do appreciate the call, and I think we got somebody else online here.
Yeah, well, I'm relating back to my sister went through a foreclosure like this. It took her like 3 years, and I know exactly what it's all about, but I'm just, because you have a bigger mind, I thought maybe you would, be able to clue in, but thanks a lot, yeah.
Hey, Bob, thank you. Aloha. Aloha. Good morning, Jerry, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
May I ask a question to Mr. Goodman regarding reverse mortgages?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Could you just speak briefly of how reverse mortgages work and if you think it's a good idea for this day and age for older people to look at that avenue?
Well, I think it's always good to investigate, but I personally am not... that much in favor of reverse mortgages. I mean, the overall concept is that you are taking out the equity in the property, and you're not having to make your mortgage payment in the future because the party that's lending, and there are very reputable lenders who do the reverse mortgages, But I think there is a there was a consumer report study not that long ago that showed that actually there's better ways to accomplish what your goal is for most people. But a lot depends on the age of the party. The older you are, I think the more attractive the reverse mortgage becomes. The lenders are doing it. Some of the lenders are doing it at, from my perspective, still a relatively young age, and I don't think that really is a good idea. But if you are truly dealing with a retired senior citizen, it is something to investigate.
Okay. Jerry, did we lose you? But anyway, if there's any other question, if he answered your question or you have anything else, give us a call back. I think we lost you. But anyway, Steve, can a judge deny foreclosure?
Well, a judge can, but they're not
common?
Unless there is a something in terms of the loan documents.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you do have cases where there will be a truth in lending violation. And under the truth in lending law, if the documents have a fundamental flaw, the transaction can be rescinded. But rescission means that somehow you still have to address the principal amount that was originally borrowed.
Right.
So, in terms of where you go with the truth in lending, a lot of it the use of the truth in lending will be used as a leverage to redo the mortgage. Because it's not too often that somebody's going to have the $300,000 that they can pay back the principal because the documents are flawed. Mm-hmm. There's only so much you can do with that. You also have situations which I'm familiar with, where, quite frankly, the lender's bookkeeping is fundamentally flawed. They'll start adding on late charges and so forth, and the homeowner can show that the checks were timely received and timely processed by the lender, yet they're getting tacked on late fees, and then with the late fees comes, after a certain point, they'll sometimes claim they have the right then to increase the interest rate, and it, the problem kind of compounds itself. So if you know, just because the courts have become more and more aware of the fact that the lender's books are not necessarily correct, sometimes the homeowner's books are the correct ones.
So,
but you need your records.
You
need to be able to show that from the canceled checks,
mm-hmm,
that you really had remitted the payments.
Right. So if a individual, what I saw on YouTube, there was one thing being passed around that you can actually get out of your agreement and have the courts rule favorably for you, because if your mortgage was sold to another company, the original note can't be found, or it was lost in the shuffle, so you can go in and argue. And this is a fraud being perpetrated on people throughout the U.S. here.
Yes, in a word. the lenders have created some of their own problems. And there's a real issue in which the bankruptcy courts have dealt with, and there's a series of cases coming out of Cleveland where the federal judges actually have thrown out the foreclosures, because the party who filed the foreclosure action cannot prove that they actually own the loan.
Mm-hmm.
With these mortgage papers being sold and then transferred into a security, the paper trail has gotten very convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
Now here in Hawaii, that's not so much of a problem, because our local major lenders have not so much gotten into some of these funky transactions, for lack of a better word. But in terms of being able to show that you are the owner, mm-hmm, our judge over in Honolulu handles the foreclosure. I mean, she requires there be paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why sometimes a lender may actually do a non-judicial, because there's no oversight.
Uh-huh.
And so then it would become up to the borrower to get it into court to actually be able to raise these issues.
Mm-hmm. You know, also,
in a bankruptcy, in this matter, foreclosure, bankruptcy, is there any property exempt?
Oh, yes.
And can you share with us what some of those properties and how they become exempt in this process?
Well, the bankruptcy law itself allows that you are able to keep certain properties. And I don't, top of my head, I don't remember the exact dollar amount in terms of how much it is. But you basically are able, it's in excess of $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter what the form of the asset is. In other words, you could have $3,000 equity in your car, your furniture, and you're talking about the value. And of course, used furniture is that doesn't have that high a value. But say the furniture is worth $1,000. You've got a ring, a wedding ring that's worth a couple $1,000. You got $5,000 in the bank. All that it still totals less than $20,000. You get to keep it. Now, excluded from that 20 that you get to keep is if money you have in a 401k, an IRA, any monies that are in a retirement fund, those monies will and you could have $100,000 and still go bankrupt and get rid of $50,000 worth of credit cards debt, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Your retirement monies are 100% exempt. So a lot depends on what asset you have. And it varies across the country, too, because each state has different laws. In some states, you have to file the state law exemption, and some others. For example, you know, states like Nevada have a homestead exemption that's over $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a very significant equity in your home, $500,000, and you get to keep the home and you get rid of credit card debt. Where Hawaii, which hasn't changed its homestead exemption since 1978, we're still at $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these rules vary depending upon what state you file,
so
where your residency.
I see. So, what I'm hearing, it's a difficult task to... You could do it. Some people file their own taxes, but I don't think I would want to handle this bankruptcy on my own and the foreclosure without some legal advice. But having said that, and I've gotten your permission to post up your contact information on our website at carolcox.com, is that's okay with you?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And what we'll do is get that information out there. And again, it's Steve Gutman. If you are interested, any of you having a need, the questions are, feel free to call him. That's Guttman, Stephen Gutman. And the phone number for your information out there, in case you don't have computer or internet access, it would be 536-1900. That is the office number. And again, he's with a partner with Kesner, Umbayashi, Bain, and Matsunaga. But anyway, I want to make sure that what I'm hearing out there on the street, and a lot of people asking, is there any way that people can guard against this? Does this mean foreclosure is a death of the future, or is it just can they survive it, and is there better days ahead if you experience that?
Yes, I mean, the basic concept of the whole bankruptcy process is to give a person a fresh start, that you and hopefully you learn from the process as to why you got in the predicament that you got, that you
mm-hmm.
that you're now
mm-hmm.
you're now facing, and that after you're done with the process, you can then rebuild the credit. And with the number of people that are that file for bankruptcy, quite frankly, this being America, that's too big a market. there are legitimate credit sources where you can get your credit reestablished. Now the home is one that's going to take quite a while, because that is a big ticket item. But for example, on an automobile, even after you go through bankruptcy, you're going to be able to get a new automobile loan if you have a steady job and your other criteria are valid. But the difference is, instead of getting it from First Hawaiian Bank, Central Pacific Bank, one of your major lenders at a real low interest rate, you're going to have to go through to a C lender, and maybe you'll pay two or three times the amount, but you'll still be able to get the credit card. and over time, I mean, or the new loan.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that over time, as long as you're then staying current on the new bills, that negative information from the bankruptcy will be more and more discounted over time.
I see. Well, I can only tell you that it's scary. The way the economy is going right now, and many people out there are faced with different issues and loss of jobs and what have you, but it seems there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
Yes, I think the main point really would be is because of the burden that it puts it, people have a tendency to put their head in the sand, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and just hoping it will go away. It won't just simply go away, but the sooner when you first start seeing that you're having the problem, that you get some appropriate advice from somebody mm-hmm. who really does know what they're talking about, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to solve it before it gets to be the point where your only alternative is bankruptcy.
So in other words, when you start getting those letters, don't ignore them or put them away and respond to them and seek legal counsel or legal advice or something.
Yeah, definitely start seeking advice. If you have a trusted financial advisor, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a lawyer, depending upon especially how early you start trying to resolve it. But the biggest problem I see is that by the time the majority of people will go to the lawyer, their only alternative is the bankruptcy option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and bankruptcy, just a couple of quick-fire questions. Once you file bankruptcy, will your creditors stop harassing you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, in fact, you can get the creditors to stop harassing even before you file bankruptcy. If you retain an attorney and it's collection agencies that are talking to you, the attorney can send a letter to the collection agency saying that he or she is representing you and you cannot contact the debtor any longer. And under the Fair Credit Practices Act, the federal law, mm-hmm. the collection agency must stop, because if they don't, then you have a right to sue the collection agency. And that is not an area of law that I represent debtors in, but there are a number of attorneys I can certainly refer people to who will be more than happy to make a dollar on those types of lawsuits.
Will my spouse be affected?
Only the individual in Hawaii. Hawaii's not a community property state.
Okay.
So in Hawaii, because it's not a community property state, if the debt is only with one of the two individuals, only the individual who's got the negative credit is affected, not the spouse.
It's an embarrassing thing, in a sense. Who will know if I were to file foreclosure or bankruptcy?
Well, it is public information, so if anybody takes the time, they can find it. As a practical matter, in terms of the bankruptcy, about the only place you'll see it published is in the Pacific Business News. The Pacific Business has done that for seems like forever.
Right.
But the majority of people will never know it. I mean, it's not like you wear a big letter S
mm-hmm.
on your shirt, or letter B on your shirt that's saying, you know,
I'm bankrupt.
Right.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you joining me, Steve. And again, this was the Carol Cox Show with Steve Gutman, discussing foreclosure and bankruptcy. Folks, keep your head up. It's not all that bad, and it's, as you've heard Steve say, he's available, or you can call other sources, the Legal Counsel of Hawaii Legal Counsel.
Lawyer Referral Service.
And or the Lawyer Referral Service.
Yeah, Lawyer Referral Service will give them three names.
And do you have a number for that? Or
no, but it's in the white pages under Lawyer Referral Service.
Okay. All righty. Well, anyway, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Keep in mind, this is a holiday season. A lot of poke is going to be eaten and all. Be careful. The fish is still coming in, imported with carbon monoxide. Just recently at Safeway here in Mililani, I found a sign that says, treated with carbon monoxide to retard the coloration. Treated with carbon monoxide to keep it. And it was imported. Then it said, previously frozen, but under the bottom said fresh. So be careful out there, folks. This is not fair. It's not good. But we'll keep letting you know who's tricking you for your money. But anyway, and next week we're going to have the Mrs. Claire Shimabukuro, the director of Meals on Wheels, and we're going to try to see if we can give them some good coverage and some good public attention and try to bring them some money. And so if you guys out there want in the giving spirit of the Christmas spirit, tune in next week on Sunday on the Carol Cox Show, and we'll be discussing the Meals on Wheels and the benefits of it. Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.